This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Come on, just put your hands together and bless Jesus this morning. I believe there is a miracle destined for your life today. How many people just came for a change in your life? How many people came for the pigskin at 5 o'clock? Let me just see hands. All right, somebody's honest. Amen. But how many people came here for a miracle that want their lives changed? Amen. Amen. We thank God for the reading of the word. We want to focus in on that 8th verse. I just want to read it one time. It says, but if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Amen. Give praise for Brother Dwayne and Brother Speedy for leading us today in our worship and our praise team. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor this morning. I want you to understand the message real quickly. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, get him. Act like you had a football game. Come on, say, neighbor. Stop acting like a bastard. Amen. Get the other neighbor. Make sure they understand the message this morning and say, neighbor, stop acting like a bastard. Some of y'all so happy that y'all could say that in church, but stop acting like a bastard. You know, the term itself is often used in a very profane sense when you are cursing at someone or saying to someone what they are when they're not. And that's what has made the word profane in itself. But the word itself is a very relevant word, and it has a very description about a particular kind of person. The word bastard comes from the idea is that someone that is fatherless, and not only someone that is fatherless, but someone that is without fatherly instruction or direction in their life. That's what we identify as someone being a bastard. You know, when some periodically I go in the supermarket and I see just children just acting wild, cussing at their parents and telling their mom off and telling their dad off, I'm going to have my, I want this, I don't care what you say, mom, you're stupid. And there's times that I just turn my head and say, what? Ain't you going to hit them, knock them across the floor, lay them out? I mean, when I was growing up, there were certain things that I could not do, and one of them was talk back to my parents. I remember one day I was sitting in the dining room, and I was just talking back to my mom and just flamming at the mouth. And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, it's almost like a hand reached down from heaven and just went, poof. I mean, nose bleeding all over the place. You know, that's the time when people didn't call DHS for everything. But the reality is that the chastisement of my father caused me to live a life that was respectful to my mother. And from that day forward, there were certain things I just did not do because of the chastisement of my father redirected me in the way that I should go, that I would not act like I was a bastard, but a child that had received direction and chastisement from my father. Somebody going to get this. Stop acting like a bastard is the message for this morning. In our text, we are presented with three different motivations for righteousness, three motivations for right living and living according to the Word of God. We know what the Word of God says. You know right from wrong. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have an understanding that the Spirit of God comes in you and takes up residence in your life. And not only is the Holy Spirit a God, He's a comforter and all of things, He's also our direction. How many people, when you were about to do something wrong, you heard this little voice in the back of your mind or the bottom of your spirit, don't do it, don't do it? That is the direction of the Holy Spirit already in you. But the Holy Spirit not only gives direction, but it also gives motivation for you to live right. You know right from wrong. You know when you are stepping outside of God's word. You might not know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and every word, but you know there's two commandments that the Bible says you ought to follow, and if you follow these two commandments, the rest will fall in order. First of all, you ought to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with everything that you got. And you will find that if you love God like you say you do, the commandments will come in line. That the second commandment was that you would love your neighbor as yourself. So if you are not doing anything against God that you would not want him to do to you, and if you are not doing anything to your neighbor that you would not want your neighbor to do to you, you will find that the rest of the commandments fall in line, and you will live a life of righteousness even if you do not know every title of the law, every direction of the law. You know the spirit of the law, and in the spirit of the law, you will find the love of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter that though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of knowledge and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have not love, it profited me nothing. And if you have the love of God in your life where you love him and love your neighbor, you will find you will be in right standing with God. Well, what is our motivation? There are three motivations that we're going to talk about today of how we are motivated to live in a righteous way. The first one is in that first verse of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. The first motivation of righteousness is by the witness. It's by the, somebody say, by the witness. By the witness. You will find that one motivation that we have is the testimony of someone else in order to live right. If you see somebody living right and living holy, and you find out that God is on their side, that ought to be a motivation that for you to live right. When you look at some of the people that come in here and you know that their lives have been changed, you see that people have been baptized, committed to a life of righteousness, and you see things falling in place. I love using Brother John as example. I'm excited about the steps that God is taking in his life. He is not only here just out of form or fashion, but he's here because he made a commitment to the Lord. But he is finding out that day after day that things are falling in place in life because of his commitment unto righteousness. Is he doing everything right? No. But if you start trying to live after God's way, doing as Paul says, pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, you will find that things will fall into place because of the fact that of the testimony of the saints. If you know that person and everything that they have gone through, the person next to you, the person behind you, you heard their testimony of how they went through this, and he brought me through that, and he's brought me through this circumstance and that circumstance, but everything turned out all right because I put my trust in the Lord. How many people got a testimony this morning? You know you should have been dead. You know you should be locked up right now. Matter of fact, they should threw away the key and buried it and locked you up. But by the grace of God, you are in a way that you should not be in. But God has blessed you because you made a commitment to follow his will and his way. But here in our text, the motivation for righteousness by the witness is not people that are living, but people that have gone on before. When you read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it talks about faith. It begins by saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But as you go down through that chapter, if you look at the fourth verse, it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. You jump down to the fifth verse, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. In verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go up into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. Verse 11, it says, by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive a seed and was delivered a child when she was past age. Verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac that he received the promise offered by the only begotten son. Verse 22, it says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, even though that the slavery had not yet occurred. In verse 23 to 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, and because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, in verse 24, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You have to understand, there's some people that have gone on long before you that are witnesses that God can make everything all right, that if you live a life of righteousness, God's hand will be on your life. There's some witnesses, and they're standing in the ground, in the grandstands around us. It says there is a crowd of witnesses. You're going to get this in a second. Tonight, we are going to look at the Super Bowl. And in the stands, there is going to be a crowd. All the way around. Some are going to be voting for Chicago, and others are going to be voting for the Colts. And there's going to be, and they're going to be cheering them on, saying, go, go for the touchdown, go, 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 run, run, run. And this is what the witnesses in the grandstands, Moses and Abraham and Joseph and Enoch and Abel, they're standing in the grandstands saying, you can make it. They're standing in the grandstands and say, yes, you can live a life of righteousness. And standing in the grandstands saying that you can overcome sin and temptation that is presenting before you. They're saying, run. How many people want to run for Jesus? There's a song that says that I've been running for Jesus, and I'm not tired yet. I know some difficulties have come along the way. There's been some trials along the way, but I'm going to keep on running for Jesus. Well, there's two instructions that are coming from the witnesses. The first one is found in that first verse of the 12th chapter. It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. You're going to get this in a second. Can you imagine one of those football players deciding to tie on their waist some 50-pound weights and then try to run for a touchdown? The reason why they don't put additional weight on, because it will tie them down and make them easily caught by the enemy. Somebody's going to get this. See, there is an enemy on your track, and he is trying to catch you. Well, what are some of the other runners in the race? There is your temptations, the things that tempt you, the things that you're still struggling. How many people still struggling with some stuff? They're one of the runners in the race. Well, there are tribulations. There are some runners in our race. There's bad relationships that are running in our race. And what happens is that when you put weights on, it prevents you from running beyond the temptations, the trials, and the bad relationships in your life, and you have allowed them to catch up to you. But the scripture says, let's lay aside every weight and sin that holds us back from meeting the goal that God has for us in our life. The witnesses are saying to put aside the sin. You know, we've been talking about worship, praise, and faith over the last 3 weeks. And in every area, it seems like sin is the thing that's preventing us from reaching the full purpose and potential that God has for our life. No matter, every time I try to get through to get past the sin point, you'll find out if you want something to slow you down in life. I know sometimes you think sin can get you over. I know that sometimes you think conning your way through life can get you by. But you will find out that every time you turn around, sin will prevent you from meeting the destiny that God has for your life. You gotta lay some stuff aside. Put away homosexuality. Put away fornication. Put away lust. Put away gossip. Put away lying. Put that stuff away. And let us run the race that is set before you. Let us run the race that is set before you. You're going to get this. Let us run the race that is set before you. You know, when I was growing up, my mama used to always make things I did not like. I do not like oatmeal. I do not like oatmeal to this day. I can't stand oatmeal. I don't like cabbage. I don't like onions. There's some things I just do not like to eat. But my mama would cook, and she would put the plate of everything that I did not like in front of me. And I just thought she was so cruel. And she said to me, "Boy, you're going to learn to eat what is set before you." You're going to get this. You're going to learn to eat what is set before you. I know there are some things that God has set before us that seem like, "God, why did you deal me this plate? Why did you deal me this plan? Why did you deal me this circumstance for my life?" But there are some things that are set before you that are purpose for your life, for the building up of your faith. James says, "Count it all joy when you come into diverse temptations, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience, and that patience have a perfect work in you, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." There's some things along the race you might not like, but you got to learn to eat what is set before you, because if you take the plan and purpose that God has for your life, you'll make it. If you take the plan that God has for your life and live a life of righteousness, you'll overcome every circumstance and problem and difficulty that comes in your way. But you can't handle your problems through sin. You got to handle it through righteousness. Let us run the race that is set before us. The first motivation was the motivation of the witnesses, that we might live unto righteousness. Well, what is the second motivation? The second motivation for righteousness is the example that Christ gave to us. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 2 to 3, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was," listen, "set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Listen to this. Very important part of this text. "That was set before him." See, we all have a race in life. We have our race. And Christ is our example of how we should run the race. Christ had a race, a purpose and plan that was set before him from the foundations of the earth, that he would come down through 40 and two generations to die on the cross for your sins. That was the plan and purpose that God the Father has for his life, that we might be saved and set free from sin. The example of how we should run our race with diligence and faithfulness unto God is by the example that Christ has given us. He says, "And Christ, he ran the race that was set before him. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God." Verse 3 says, "For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's look at Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in the 15th verse. It says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmities, but in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin." You have to understand that Christ has endured every temptation that you will ever endure. Every suffering that you will ever endure. You say Christ was never homeless. That's a lie. He says foxes have holes, Birds have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. He endured suffering. They whipped him all night long. He endured people lying on him and spitting on him. He endured it. He endured it. He knows everything that you're going through. He says, the only thing I don't understand is your sin. He says, I've been through all of this stuff. He says, the only thing that I have been without, I've been without sin. The expectancy of Christ is that you would endure the difficulties in your life and live a life of righteousness, that you would proceed to the things and the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. He set an example. Isaiah 53, 3 and 5, it says, he was despised and rejected of men, a man with sorrows, acquainted with grief. As we hid from him our faces, we was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You have to understand that Christ set the example and the motivation by which we ought to live a righteous life and not live a life as bastards. What is the third thing? The third motivation is by his chastisement. His chastisement. Motivation by chastisement. Verse 5 to 7, it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth, and scorneth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I loved talking about my mama, because there's some wonderful stories about my mama. But my mama, when we used to do something wrong, she would send us outside to get our own switch. And we come back with this little twig, and then she would send our brothers out there, and they picked the longest thing out there. But they know their time was coming, that's all I had to say. But they would get the switch, and then my mom would just seem like it just bring that thing way back, and she wind it up, and she says, boy, I'm only doing this because I love you. And she wind that thing up again, and she repeat herself, boy, I'm only doing this because I love you. She wind it up again. She said, boy, I'm only doing this because I love you. And she would just keep, and you know something, there was whelps and everything, but you know something, I thank God for every spanking, every whipping, because of the fact that through that chastisement, I learned direction, that I might know how to act and be respectful of other people. Let's look at David. David made this claim plain in the Psalms, the 119th chapter, verse 67 to 71. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and dost good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It was good for me. Somebody said it was good for me. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn the statutes of God. You have to understand, when God chastises you, it's because he loves you. He wants you to be in right standing with him. You think sometimes the bottom fell out because God doesn't know. Sometimes the bottom fell out because of the mess that you caused yourself. And the only way that God gets your attention is by pulling the bottom out. And then you think God is so much. No, he loves you. He chastens whom he loves. But let's look at verse 8. It says, but if ye be without chastisement, listen to this very quick. Four words that are very important. Whereof all are partakers. Somebody say all. What this indicates here is that every one of you, God has chastened. How many people did not get a whipping from the God at some point in your life? Raise your hand. Everybody at some point has gotten a whipping. A good whipping. Some of us still need a whipping. But God has given us whoopings at times in our life. To everybody here, God has given a whooping. That's all. That's what all means. But let's look at the rest of this verse. It says, but if ye be without chastisement or redirection, whereof we are all partakers, then you are bastards. Well, if we are all corrected, then why are we considered as bastards? The reason why is because we have rejected God's correction, and even though that he has instructed us to do right, we have turned away from him and act like we were bastards. See, there are some children that have wonderful parents. They're given direction, they're given love, they're given correction, but then they still do whatever they want to. And this is the state that some of us here are in today. God has corrected you. He has loved you. He has shown you direction, but you still do anything that you want to. The message for today is stop acting like a bastard. He never said you were a bastard because God is our Father and he loves you. But the reality is that some of us are acting like bastards and doing anything that we want to do when we want to do it and how we want to do it. And you wonder why things don't go right in your life. It's because you're acting like a bastard. Get your life together and do what's right inside of God's word so that God can cause you to live a life of righteousness and walk in the way of his word. There are three motivations towards righteousness. Motivation by the witness, motivation by his example, and motivation by his chastisement. God wants you to live right. The scripture says, be therefore perfect, for I am perfect. He says there's no excuse for unrighteousness. You choose to do wrong. You choose to step outside of my way. You choose to step outside of my law. God does not want you to act like a bastard, but he wants you to act like his child. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he shall abide with you forever. How many people here want to continue to be a bastard in their life? How many people want to live right for God? Just lift your hands. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you. I know this was a very strange word, very strange topic, but God, we thank you because of the fact that we need direction from you. We thank you for the motivation of the witnesses, those that have gone before us. We thank you for the motivation that you have given us by your example, and we thank you for the motivation that you have given us by your chastisement. God, help us not to live as bastards, but to live as your children. And we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We ask that you continue to wash us clean and make us whole.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.